Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Tim, did you know that this meeting is being recorded?
I did know that this meeting was being recorded, yes.
So now that it is being recorded, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition. Steve Johnson here, along with Minnesota Tim Parachka. Tim, early morning for me today. I was out fueling up the equipment. I'm not a farmer. I'm a driving practice range owner. But I was filling the equipment up for my workers, and I got a brand new pair of boots, which is for a guy that's a laborer, that's a big day. You know, you got the brand new boots. They're feeling good. They're lightweight. They're waterproof. It's not raining out here, but you know, you want to get something that's good for all purposes. And I'm fueling up the 5-gang mower, the real mower, John Deere, JD, in dedication to the John Deere Classic this week. And it's set up for like a nozzle, like a regular gas station fill up. You stick it right in the gas hole there and you fill it up. But we don't have a gas tank. We have 5-gallon buckets.
Wow.
And so I have to use a funnel. And so I'm pouring it in and the funnel slips and diesel fuel goes all over my brand new boots, all over the leg. And right now I'm flammable right now, by the way. Do not light a match around me because I'll go up like a firecracker.
So where did you get these new boots?
I got them at a place. It's a Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway place. It's a big store called Scheels, which I don't know how they came up with that number. S-C-H-E-E-L-S.
Yes, that's a very popular store. They're around Minnesota too.
Are they really? Do they have a Ferris wheel inside the store?
The one in Fargo does.
Okay, well, this one does, and it's huge. I was looking for boots, and you know when you're looking for something, you want options. They had 374 different styles of boots, going all the way from cowboy boots to work boots, and I found what I wanted. They're nice.
Cowboy boots are not available in Minnesota.
Really? Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not really great for work in the type of work I do. Getting on and off machinery, walking around a bunch. So I got some nice boots, but they're filled with diesel fuel.
So are they ruined? Do you need to get another pair of boots?
No, they're not ruined, but they just smell. I'm in my little office here and it just smells, but our listeners really don't care about that. But I just wanted to get them, we're real here. You know, we're actually working. It's 6 a.m. in the morning. We are recording on a Friday morning for our Saturday Strong. So the morning starts early here, but we got a lot to talk about, Tim. We've got we got to review the match a little bit. The Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau and partners, we got to talk about the Bryson DeChambeau too. He's a double topic today too, because a lot of articles have been written about who's going to caddy for Bryson DeChambeau. Which the guy's made $6 million already this year, official money. Plus, you know, he's got like the match; he gets paid for that. There's things that that he makes off that are not considered official money. This is independent of all of his endorsement deals and all. So it's a very lucrative job for a caddy, anyone that can get it. And a couple names have popped up in the swimsuit competition for the job. Steve Williams, Jim McKay, Jim Bones McKay, among others, they're already betting on it. They're wagering over in Scotland, Ireland, Europe. You know, they're big gamblers over there in golf. And the bet is who is going to be Bryson DeChambeau's caddy. So. Hmm. I wanted to go over a couple things. What do you think? Have you applied for that job or no?
I have not applied for the job, but in my opinion, it will be a young caddy that gets the position. You know, maybe okay. Steve Williams or Jim Bones McKay will caddy for the week of the Open Championship, but the full-time gig is going to go to a younger caddy because that is just so much work for a guy established. like Steve Williams or Jim Bones McKay. It's just too much.
Well, you know, I mean, he does play a lot too, but I mean, they, like you say, he could be, either one of those guys could be a good fill-in. Now, last week when his caddy, ex-caddy Tim Tucker quit just before the tournament started, he got this guy named Shonen, who is works for Cobra, has a relationship with Bryson DeChambeau. He was basically a bag toter. For lack of better explanation, he was a living pull cart.
Keep up, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Show up.
Show up.
And that's what he did. And, you know, they missed the cut. But Bryson DeChambeau has bigger fish to fry. He's getting ready for the Open Championship at Royal St. George's here. Oh, no, actually, where is it? Where's
St. Andrews.
Year? No, it's not at St. Andrews, is it?
I think it's at St. Andrews this year.
Okay, put pause. Pause it for a second. God dang, Tim.
It's at St. Andrews. I'm telling you, it's at St. Andrews.
It's at St. Andrews?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Oh, it's at Royal St. George's Golf Club.
Yeah, that is Royal St. George's, St. Andrews. God dang. I have to fact check you all the time.
Well, you're the one that wondered where it was.
I know. I heard Royal St. George's, but now they're playing this week, the Irish Open. A lot of the guys are doing a little warm-up.
Next year is in St. Andrews.
Okay, well, you're just that far ahead of us. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So any thoughts on this caddy? If you were the hiring department for the Bryson DeChambeau, what would you look at in terms of getting a viable candidate for caddy position with the team DeChambeau?
Number one, I'd look for a mechanical engineer that's good with numbers.
Okay.
Number two, I would look for a young person that will stand on the range until 3 o'clock in the morning. Number three, and this goes in with the number one and number two, but he's got to be a hard worker because Bryson DeChambeau demands more from his caddy than any other player on the PGA Tour.
Okay. All right. Well, those are some good characteristics.
Your turn.
Okay. So this is a job. Bryson DeChambeau loves talking things out. So it's got to be a guy that's a good listener. One of the suggestions in this article I read in Golf Digest was maybe Ricky Elliott, who is Brooks Koepka's caddy.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Ricky Elliott is a great caddy. And one of the reasons he's a great caddy, he's a PGA pro. That's not one of the things that makes him a great caddy, but he knows golf. He played golf in college, D1 player. He has a good relationship with Brooks Koepka. I don't know why I keep getting these guys mixed up. But the thing that is the kicker and the thing that puts Ricky Elliott above everyone else with Brooks Koepka is he's a guy that can break the tension. He's got a great sense of humor. He's got an accent. He's witty. He knows when to shut up. He knows when to contribute. He's serious about his job. This is not his first caddy gig, by the way. He's caddied for other players and done a great job with them. I told him back a few years ago, I said, oh my gosh, you got a good bag now in Brooks Koepka. And sure enough, he has. But Ricky Elliott would not be a good fit for Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson DeChambeau is not looking to bring a guy in that breaks attention. I don't even know if Bryson DeChambeau feels tension. So here are the characteristics of the player, the player caddy characteristics that I think would be the best. One, this guy's got to be a great listener. Two, this guy has to have a background the type of maybe an aim point guy or some type of statistical background, not just a guy, old school caddy that's gonna show up and hit the shot. That's why I don't think a guy like a Fluff Callan, Mike Callan, who's close to retirement age right now in his 70s, I don't think that would be a great fit for, although Fluff did great with Tiger, he did great with Peter Jacobson, he did great with Jim Furyk, and he's in my caddy Hall of Fame. You know that.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think he would be a great fit for Bryson DeChambeau. Steve Williams, he fits all of those characteristics except the young that you had in your group. He has a definite philosophy on how to play golf. And I think that he would get very frustrated with Bryson. I don't think that that would be a good fit. When Bryson's going through his air density and slope differentials and all that stuff, I think Steve would just say, hey, you got to hit the shot, man. Just hit it. Steve Williams is used to being with a slow player because back in the day when Tiger Woods was in the last group, he played slow. He was not a fast player. Although he can play fast, when the pressure gets on, he plays slower. A guy like Jimmy Johnson, who caddies for Justin Thomas, would be a damn good fit. But Jimmy Johnson is not going to leave Justin Thomas to go to Bryson DeChambeau, so that's not going to happen. I think the best opportunity right now for this tournament coming up, and the bet is not for who's going to be his permanent caddy. The bet is who's going to caddy for Bryson DeChambeau at the Open Championship, and I think it could be Jim Bones McKay.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that would be an awesome pick. Bones would love to win another major. Just his ability. You know, Jim is now a commentator for CBS, isn't it? Is it CBS?
Yes.
He's a commentator, walking commentator, just like Colton Ost is. And that would be that would give him some great background information. Just going this week and caddying for Bryson DeChambeau, if they had some good breaks and they put it together. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau could win the tournament. That would be a great way to cap off already Hall of Fame, another Hall of Famer for the caddy ranks, Jim Bones McKay. I don't think he goes young guy because I don't think he wants to have to train somebody, and he doesn't know if he's going to work. It's a lengthy process of training these caddies when they're not used to being on the PGA Tour. They think that caddying is really just showing up, shutting up, and keeping up, but that's not all of it. The great caddies are part of the game. I give him a lot of credit. You know, Hank doesn't give him that much credit.
Well, I'm not saying this caddy's going to be 22, 23 years old, but I don't think this caddy's going to be in his 50s or 40s. I think he'll be 39 and younger, that caddy's for Bryson.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that could be. That could be on a permanent basis, but right now I'm thinking he's looking for somebody that can help him, somebody that has some experience over there at Royal St. George's or St. Andrews, wherever you're going to put him. You'd probably ask him if he had experience at St. Andrews, and the guy's caddy's probably thinking, what the hell is he asking me that question for? That's next year. That's not this year.
Bryson could ask me to be his caddy. I am a positive person. I radiate positivity. Players just play better under Tim Perashka as their caddy. My cousin broke the course record when I was caddying for him. I have a very good history.
Yeah, the only tarnish on that caddy resume, and you know what it is, Tim.
He sent me home. Jeff sent me home. He said, Tim, you should go. He was two under on the front
nine. Okay,
He was two under on the front nine.
You got the right tarnishing example.
I left, and he goes three over. It was a huge mistake by Jeff to send me home.
Well, I mean,
he regrets that decision.
You made a commitment.
He was top five on the front nine, sent me home, and he shoots three over.
Okay. All right. Mute your microphone. I'm just gonna outline this for our listeners who haven't heard this before. Tim was very gracious. Now, this his pro has helped him all a bunch with his golf game. And Tim had agreed to caddy for, what was his name?
Jeff.
He's going to caddy for Jeff in this pro tournament, and they get there. It's an early morning deal. Tim had some engagements in the afternoon, but it was not going to be a big deal because they're going to tee off early. He was going to be done way in advance.
There was a rain delay.
Would you shut up? Would you shut up and let me tell a story?
No, there was a rain delay. You don't understand.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say they get there to the course, and there's a big delay because there's thunderstorms. There's rain. They can't play. So Tim's tight schedule, now all of a sudden he's thinking, oh my gosh, well, by the time we do tee off, I'm not going to be able to make this big engagement that I had. And so they play nine holes. They do well. And then Tim, and Jeff was on the show, and he did say it. He said, I would have loved for him to go, but I know he had this previous engagement. He forewent the big bonus I was going to give him at the end. But Tim Parachka's big tarnishment, the tarnishing on his resume is that on an 18-hole event, he only went 9 holes. And his player went, his game went in the crapper. And he went from 2 under, 3 over the backside, probably finished just out of the big money. And Tim had to go to his big engagement. And what was that big engagement again, Tim?
We're playing volleyball. but Jeff didn't understand the value that I brought to the caddy in position. He suggested I go home. I'm just saying.
Who says the caddy's important? I do.
Yeah.
I know how important the caddy is. But all I'm saying, Tim, is when you have full disclosure and you're in that interview with Bryson DeChambeau, you're going to have to level with him and say, hey, you know what? I did quit on my player. I only went 9 holes when I committed to 18, but there was rain. And Bryson's thinking, wow, what if there's rain at the Open Championship? And Tim's got, he's got to go play checkers with the guys at the bar over there at McLarney's or wherever.
Fair point. But we probably should take a break. We're 16 minutes in. We need to take our first break. Go to HaneyUniversity.com to improve your golf game. There's a daily newsletter that will come straight to your email inbox. You click on it. You watch the videos. You get better. It's that simple. HaneyUniversity.com. We'll be right back with Match 4 Talk and Bryson DeChambeau's swing technique. Hank had strong opinions about it last week, and I want to hear the great predictor's opinions on it.
Welcome back to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition. Thanks for sending in the videos, too. You guys, we're going to talk about that in the next break, just going into the next break. But golf school's at hankhaney.com. I've got a new platform, Tim, that I'm analyzing videos on. It's called Coach Now.
Mm.
And it's sweet, man. It's easy to exchange. Not only can the listeners send a video to me at golf school's at Hank Haney, once I put them in the Coach Now platform, they can send me videos for free with one click.
What?
It's unbelievable. It's great. It's great. Now I can do the lines and I can do the voiceover. I do that all the time. Send it back on the platform. There's no time limit on it. And it is a great platform to use. Coach Now.
Nice work, Steve.
Yeah, it's great. So the match, I know the match took place a few days ago. We haven't had a chance to talk about it. Overall thoughts, just briefly overall thoughts, Tim.
It was really long. I was watching some of it. I was flipping back and forth between the NBA finals and the match. This was what it was, and this is exactly how you're going to describe it. It was perfect background television. That's what it was. It was fun to see Phil Mickelson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Bryson DeChambeau on a golf course together. Bryson DeChambeau was the biggest gusher of all time while watching that match. But it was fun to watch Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady hit some good shots. I really enjoyed the elevation, actually. The players were hitting it so far, and that was fun to watch.
Yeah. Does that look like the type of course that you'd love to go play?
Yes, it does.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
It's good to get that perspective because there aren't great courses. Now, when you talk about great golf course design, there's not many great courses out there that have elevation changes of more than, 40, 50 feet. Now I know it at Augusta, it's a gradual, but there's not holes that you hit down, 150 feet down to a green that's way below, but you just don't get a lot of great golf course design that has that much elevation change. When they were talking about, one of the guys hit it in the rough, Tim, they said, well, that's where the bears are down there. I said, holy crap. Can you imagine going out on the golf course and you're out there and you're eating your, one of your snacks because you're hungry out there. You're eating your power bar and a bear smells it and comes over and wants some of that. And mauls you to death for a friggin' power bar.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Overall, I mean, I this first time I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers play golf. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. His putting, it was, he made a lot of really nice putts. Tom Brady's improved. He didn't tear his pants, which was nice this match. He had some pants that had a good seam in the butt. Aaron Rodgers is cool. I mean, he's a cool guy.
You like Rodgers, huh?
Well, you know what? Tom Brady's a little bit awkward. Just his personality. I'm sure he's a great guy. It's a fun guy to be around. But Aaron Rodgers is cool. He's very comfortable with himself. He's very comfortable in different situations. I didn't like it that he said, you know, hey, he hadn't been playing much golf. He's been doing other things. You know, he needs to play golf is what he needs to do.
I liked his exchanges with Bryson DeChambeau. There's a couple of situations where Bryson would go up to Rodgers and, you see what I'm seeing here? And Rodgers would be like, no. he just simply said it with that kind of voice. Uh-huh. No.
Do you think there's anything that they could have done to make the broadcast a little bit more engaging? You know, is Trevor Immelman, he does not add anything to the broadcast. He talks in generalities. Larry Fitzgerald didn't add a thing to the broadcast. I mean, I'm sure he's a great guy. Just let Charles do it. Yeah. I mean, Charles knows these guys. Charles is witty. I mean, what do you have Cheyenne Woods in there for, too?
Yeah, she didn't do a good job either.
No, she didn't do much. I mean, it was, and I don't know who the host was, the Jim Nance of the TNT broadcast, but it would be nice to have somebody that you're familiar with. And maybe that guy's part of the NBA. Who knows? Is he?
Yes, he is.
Okay. All right. He had the announcer's voice, the ins and outs and all that stuff. But, I mean, here are my takes. I love seeing real golf because PGA Tour golf, when the broadcast really skew our perspective of what real golf is. Real golf is missing shots. Real golf is not always having great judgment. Real golf is making decisions in a situation where there's not a clear cut what is the right decision. Making those decisions, I like the way that these guys were talking it out, especially Phil Mickelson. He talks it out. He tries to help his player, although they got smoked. I was hoping that Phil would win. But that brings our next topic is real golf. I enjoyed seeing it because guys do hit bad shots. I mean, Phil Mickelson thought he hit a great shot on this drivable par four. It drove it with a 3-wood, I think, and knocked it over the green. He says, oh my gosh, that's part of this elevation change deal that doesn't make courses great is severe elevation changes is not a formula for great golf design.
Really? You don't like that, huh?
No, it's not. Yeah. I mean, you look at the hole number three at Torrey Pines, that par three. That's about as much elevation change as you should have. It's about 50 feet. And it gives you a super weird perspective when your ball is in the air and it looks like it's really high. It could be low, but it looks high because you got the elevation. You got 40 feet of added elevation.
Yeah. I would just like playing that golf course because then if I went to that golf course, I could come back and say, yeah, I averaged 350 yards off the tee.
That would be nice. But you'd lose a lot of golf balls out there, Tim. And they lost a lot of golf balls. Hell, they had people out there spotting balls for them. They were still losing them.
Yeah, free drops, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Here's a quick question for you. Before we take our break and come back and talk about the big John Deere Classic, full of huge names on the leaderboard, the changing of the guard leaderboard, Hank had some strong opinions about Bryson DeChambeau's swing technique this week on the Hank Haney podcast. He said his swing technique is poor. His swing technique is not good. It will not get him very far on the PGA Tour. He will win some tournaments because he can hit it so far and he can wedge it out of the rough. But Hank says he will win only certain tournaments. Now, he didn't specify what those tournaments were, but, you know, the tournaments that he's won, like a U.S. Open. And he got this information by watching the match. He says Bryson DeChambeau cannot hit a left-to-right shot. He can only go right-to-left with the amount of power that he puts on the golf ball. Curious to hear your thoughts on it.
You know, he's a guy that, with his old technique, was a shot maker. You've got to fill in the gaps. It just can't be full swings every time. Now he does fill the gaps in by using trajectory, by lowering the ball flight, by raising the ball flight. His ability to control the club face relative to the path is geared in mostly for that pretty straight shot or a little draw, I would imagine. He hits some wild, wild bombs at the match four. And it's just tough to play that style of golf. I mean, I know Hank's point's well taken. Hey, he bombs it so far, all he has is little wedge shots. But he just missed a cut at a tournament. He just, he won the match, but I mean, it was really because of, I would credit most of that to my man, Aaron Rodgers, the cool guy, the cool guy in the room. He's a pioneer. I mean, we're just going to have to observe. I don't want to make any quick judgments on it. But one thing I did going back to the match, it gave us some reality of even when the best of the best Hall of Fame players play, that they miss shots. There's gray area in there. And I played this last week at Dallas Country Club with one of my students who wanted me to come out there and play with them. And so I did. And it amazed me. I was watching real golf there. It just wasn't highlight shots. But how poorly people play golf. I'm talking about playing the game. I'm not talking about executing shots. I'm talking about their philosophy and their game plan on each hole. So I'm going to give you a couple examples, Tim. So you've got a hole. Picture this hole here. I'm going to sketch out this little picture, okay?
You don't have to close your eyes.
Okay, this is a beautiful golf course, really nice and green. On the first hole, it's a short par four. It has out of bounds, the driving range is to the right, and you've got a parallel fairway coming the other way to the left. So what side of the tee box would you tee off on?
You would tee off on the right side of the tee box.
Why is that?
Closest to the trouble.
Exactly right. You always tee off on the side of the biggest trouble because you want to shoot away from that. You want to shoot away from that trouble. You've got two fairways width to the left. You've got a cart path width to the right. And my guy tees off right absolutely dead center of the tee box.
Really? That's not obvious to know, huh?
No, he didn't know it.
I thought it was obvious information.
You know, so I tried to explain it to him. This is on the first tee. And he said, whoa, just let me play. Just let me play and let me observe. I said, okay, I'll observe the front nine. And then I'll tell you everything you jacked up and all the bad decisions you made so we don't have to do that on the backside. So every hole on the front side, this guy tees off exactly in the center of the tee box.
The question is, did he lose his ball on the first hole?
He lost two balls out of bounds. Two balls sliced out of bounds. He told me when we started, he said, you know what? I said, what's your big miss been? And he said, my big miss has been on the driving range, my big miss is a pull. But on the golf course, my big miss is a slice. So I'm thinking, man, you're going to hit this thing out of bounds. You're going to hit it because you're going to slice it. So you got to tee off on the right and aim left. I don't care if you're in the other fairway. You're still playing the game. You want to make your decisions so you're still in the game. You're not dropping a ball. You're not losing balls. You're not having to take penalty shots. One of Hank's three keys to better golf, no penalty shots. That was a big thing right off the box. You know, I mean, this guy's, he doesn't know where to tee off on the tee box.
How did you play?
I played good. Didn't hit my driver very well. Hit it off the toe a little bit, but was in play. My irons were good. I put a stretch together, and my focus was my student. But I put a together a three-hole little birdie.
Really?
Which was nice, yeah.
What did you shoot? Nice. Did you keep score?
You know what? We had to skip a couple holes because we had to get by some guys that had skipped in front of us. So I was on a time. I had a volleyball game I had to get to, Tim. So,
sure.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only legit reason to leave.
No, you're at the bingo age, Steve. You're at the bingo age.
Okay. So teeing off on the right side, on the correct side of the tee box is a big one. The next thing is around the greens that I noticed is, and the pros do this, and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady did it as well. Always select the easiest shot to hit. The easiest shot to hit, because you're trying to make your next shot even easier. So there was a guy, we're playing on Zoysia grass, and a lot of the listeners out there play on Zoysia, just with the ball sitting up, but there's a tremendous grain to Zoysia that it lays down on slopes. So when you're on a slope around a green, the grain is always into you. So it can catch the club and you can hit a dub. A dub. You can hit a dub. And you don't want to hit a dub. So my student was about 5-6 feet off the green. The pin was about 30 feet away from him. And he takes out a sand wedge. And I just said, hey, why did you select that club? He said, well, is that not the club to select? And I said, well, you always want to get the easiest. What would you consider? Always around the greens, you would say, can I putt this? Now, there's sometimes you can't putt it, Tim. Sometimes you can't do it. So you always go, can I putt? Yes or no? If I can't putt, then I'm going to chip. Chipping is ball back, eyes forward, standing close, ball, hitting the ball first. The ball pops up in the air and then releases to the hole. So you go putting first, chipping second, then pitching third, pitching with a lofted club. Sometimes that's the only choice you have. It's the most difficult shot around the green, much more difficult than putting and chipping. So always when you're out there playing, and my guy learned that this week, putt first, chip second, pitch third.
Okay.
That's what I learned before I had to go play volleyball.
Well, you already knew that. You didn't learn that. Your student learned
that. But I mean, yeah, exactly. That's what I hope to pass on.
Yeah.
And you know, the hydration, when it's hot outside, you've got to hydrate. Mm. I had other students that say, hey, you know what? I start hitting these bad shots, usually about hole 14. I said, man, you're losing your focus and you're getting tired and you've got to stay hydrated. What do you take when you're out on the golf course, Tim? What do you take? Do you take any snacks with you?
Yes, I like to take a power bar with me.
Okay. Any peanuts or anything like that? Any nuts?
No, not really.
Fruit? Do you take any fruit with you?
No. Okay. I don't get that big. I just kind of buy it. I have a little chewy bar or something.
Okay. I know you play up in Minnesota. You ever go out into the cornfields and just grab a ear of corn and just start eating that? Or?
It has happened once or twice.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's take our second break, should we? Yeah.
And
we'll
yeah,
talk about the changing of the guard next on the PGA Tour, the big John Deere Classic, full of the top-ranked players in the world. I believe there's three in the top 50. All right, everyone, go to voodoopainterleaf.com right now for a free two-week supply of Voodoo Painterleaf Cream. This is a patented product, and this product will take care of your aches and pains, and right now it's free. voodoopainterleaf.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition. Steve Johnson here along with Minnesota Tim Prochka. Tim, the last topic is, you call it changing of the guard. I call it, you know what I call it? I call it Corn Fairy.
Mm.
This is Corn Fairy second generation. We've got, now some of these guys that are up at the top of the leaderboard have been on the PGA Tour quite a while. Hank Lebioda. He's going through a run of great golf right now, which is awesome. He shot 7-under on Thursday. Can't wait to see. Like we said earlier, we are recording this on Friday morning, so they haven't teed off yet. You look at the leaderboard, and what I'm thinking is if you're at a restaurant, you don't recognize anybody in the top 30. You recognize nobody.
Kevin Na's in the top 30.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you wouldn't recognize Kevin Na if you saw him. If he was standing right next to you, you wouldn't know, hey, that's Kevin Na.
Well.
Na.
Pat Perez, 3-under par.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's not in the top 30.
Yeah, he is. He's tied for 29th.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that. I misspoke there. Zach Johnson, you'd probably recognize him. But
my favorite player is playing this week, and he describes this tournament. John, huh?
Well, really? He's in?
John, huh?
He played in this tournament.
Yeah.
And he's not going to make the cut is what my guess is.
He's tied for 29th, 3 under par.
Really? Very good. Very good. Let me tell you a little bit about the John Deere Classic. It used to be called the Quad Cities Classic. It's where is it? It's in Illinois. Yeah. So it's right in that Quad Cities area. Beautiful course. D.A. Wibring helped design it. It's a TPC course. It's a big deal for the John Deere company. They bring out one of the big things that the players used to enjoy. I don't know if they did it this year, Tim, is they would get out there at the John Deere yard and they would run big equipment, huge excavators, loaders, all that stuff. They would get a chance to demo it, which was a lot of fun. I mean, those things are huge and they move all, you can move a lot of ground very quickly with those, the big John Deere excavators and dozers and stuff like that. I mean, we're talking big league. Now, back in the day, they had mules and plows to move dirt. Today, they can change the landscape very, very easily. It is so hot at the John Deere Classic. Now, right now, it says it's 63 degrees Fahrenheit. This is early morning. Let me see what the... I haven't had a weather update in a while, have I?
No, you haven't.
Okay, so let me tell you... Gosh, it's going to be beautiful there today. The reason it's going to be beautiful is because it's going to be heavy clouds and it's going to be some showers. It will be humid, but the high today is looking in the 70s, which is nice for there. I mean, it could be a brutal 90s with 80% humidity. It could be tough. Kind of a tough walk. They've got some elevation changes, not like they did in Montana, but a really bland leaderboard here, Tim. Chesson Hadley and Sebastian Munoz are tied after the first round. Ches Rivi, Villegas, Hank Lebioda, like I said, Ryan Moore. Got a Cameron Champ up there. But, I mean, for the most part, this rivals a Corn Ferry type atmosphere here.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Cameron Champ because my PGA Tour draft team really needs help, and Cameron Champ is on it.
Is he really? Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. But they've got a full field here. The course is nice. You get a little broadcast, a little entertainment this weekend. But we're all looking forward to the Open Championship this next week. And I can't wait to talk to you about it. Am I going to be on with Hank, do you think, this week?
I don't know. Do you want me to try to set that up?
That would be nice.
Okay, I can try to set
that
up.
Haven't talked to Hank in a while.
Okay.
And, just to get his we'll not only talk Open Championship, but we'll catch up.
Okay. We can do that then.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. Hey, I wanted to tell our listeners, golfschools@hankhaney.com. Send a video. Down the line video, tell me what your big miss is. I'm going to use the Coach Now platform and send you back a coach video, give you a good game plan. And then you can send videos to me at will whenever you want. And I will get them in the portal, the Golf Now portal. And I'll give you a little back. We can do a little back and forth. And ideally, there's nothing that is a substitute for actually coming out and getting a Hank Haney Golf School. So you're available to do that. If you can't do that, send a video. If you can't do that, listen to the podcast. If you can't do that, go to hell. You don't have enough time for us.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, maybe they can still go to heaven, though.
Okay.
They can still go to heaven. All right, okay. Everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Saturday Strong with the great predictor Steve Johnson and Minnesota Tim. Follow us on Twitter @GreatPredictor1 for Steve Johnson, @TimParashk for me, Minnesota Tim. Everyone take care, stay safe, hit bombs, make putts, and leave the flight stick in, because it is a statistical advantage. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Timmy.
Stevie, thank you.
The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.